As promised, we're joined right now by somebody who covers the Lakers and the NBA for the Los Angeles Times. He was a panelist on our daily TV show back in the day. Obviously a good friend of the program. He is Dan Wojcicki. What's going on, Dan? How are you?
Jim, I am still shaking my head at what I saw last night in Phoenix. A real weird basketball game with a real crazy ending.
I knew it, my man. I knew you would be. That's why I wanted to call you. So there's a lot to go over, but why don't we jump right into the good stuff? How much did you enjoy Scott Foster's work in all of those official reviews late last night?
You know, it's funny. One of the great, great joys of the NBA bubble was getting to know the refs in the league, because it completely changes how you watch basketball if you know them a little bit, right? And you know just sort of what that job is and entails. And it's just like watching those guys walk off the court at the end of the game last night. I was just like, I just hope they had just like a sixer of like Coors Light waiting for them. It's like those guys could use a beer. It was just like what a marathon, like every possible call, every possible thing that could happen did. And, you know, you get put into these situations where you have to referee in slow motion somehow, and it's impossible. It's not possible. And I think, you know, Scott is a lightning rod because he's always in these positions. But the reason why he's always in these positions is because, you know, you talk to people in the league about this. They insist that he's one of the best. And I can tell you that I got a text last night from an NBA coach, not thrilled with the officiating. And the one person that coach didn't mention in the text was Scott Foster.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, yeah, I would say that they probably did need one or six. I know that I needed one or six when it was over, but it was quite a game. Let me just skip ahead of this because our time is kind of limited. When you see Paul George and the way he's carried the team and how well he's played, Dan, the fact that he missed a couple of free throws down the stretch, if you had to guess, and it's only a guess, how much of that was about fatigue? And then how much of that was pressure of the moment? And then does that stick to him?
I mean, I think yes, yes, and yes.
Right.
Ultimately, right, is that, like, the fatigue was definitely for real. You could watch that throughout the game, right? Like, that he was just sort of a half step slow on everything. He wasn't attacking the basket. You know, really wasn't elevating on jump shots. Like, he is a guy who these last four games has had to kind of do everything for the Clippers. And there's wear and tear to that. We saw that with Kevin Durant. When you have to do it by yourself, it's very, very hard. I think the pressure of the moment was real. Being in there, and especially after he missed the first one, you could feel sort of the pressure. And then I think, you know, lastly, like, it's, yes, this is going to stick to him. It is unfair, but this is what happened. You know, we will not remember that Paul George put them ahead twice in the final 30 seconds of that game with baskets, because that doesn't matter when you don't make those two free throws. You know, like, he had a chance to ensure that if, like, they were going to get heartbroken, that it wasn't going to be, it couldn't be fatal, right? If you're up three, like, the worst that can happen is you go to overtime. You know, and it would have been bad to go to overtime, but that's the worst. And they had an opportunity, and, you know, for lack of a better word, he blew it.
So where do you think that leaves them? I mean, given that they had that game, right, and they had to have that game because, you know, that Chris Paul is coming back and Kawhi Leonard's status is unknown. How do you think they show up in Game 3, and in particular, how do you think Paul George shows up in Game 3?
He's responded very well to this stuff. You know, traditionally, right? Like, this is a guy who got killed when they were down 2-0 to the Mavericks for not showing up and played much better the remainder of that series. I mean, I think betting against the Clippers at this point would be pretty stupid, down 2-0. I mean, we've seen them come back twice already. You know, we know that they're a very good team when it comes to adjustments. You know, you can kind of look at both of these games, actually, as sort of coin flips at times. And you know, so, yeah, they're right there. Now, you're right. Chris Paul seemingly will be back, and that'll change things. But, you know, they played really well without him, too. They're better with him, but you know, it's not like they've been a walkover in any of these games without Chris. So, they're going to play a huge game on Thursday, Jim, and they've played a bunch of them this postseason, and they've typically performed pretty well. And so you kind of got to go with history on it. Now, look, when the time comes, or if the time comes where they're not able to answer it, I think the fair question will be, it was like, you know, did they reach their limit? There's only so much they could do, and they did it six times, and they couldn't do it a seventh.
Sorry to jump in. I was going to say, it'd be unfair for me, Dan, not to mention the Suns. I mean, they've won 9 straight playoff games.
So good.
What have they shown you over the course of the playoffs, especially when it comes to toughness, both physically and mentally?
Devin Booker is a strong dude, and he is one of the most physical players in the series. And I think the moment certainly has not been too big for him. And the thing that I keep thinking about every time I watch them is, you know, they draft DeAndre Ayton first in a draft that had Trae Young and Luka Doncic, and somehow maybe they got it right, at least for the moment, like, which seems insane.
It's incredible.
Definitely not something you would have said, you know, 3 months into DeAndre Ayton's rookie season. Definitely not something you would have said last year. So his sort of ability to sort of dominate in and around the basket has been amazing. And Monty Williams is a steady dude. It's just it's been a really incredible run for them. I mean, they've maybe been the hottest team since basketball restarted last year in the bubble, right? Like, they go to the bubble, they're undefeated, they build up all this confidence, they add the right vets, they add a star in Chris Paul. And they were great all season. You know, one of the most consistent teams in the league. They've got a great offense. They've got a great defense. You know, it makes sense that they're in this position. Now, look, have they benefited from playing teams with injuries? Sure. Guess what? That always happens. And that should not be a slight on them. It's great that basketball is sort of back alive in Phoenix, because for years that building was a ghost town. And it's been electric in there, and it's been exciting. I mean, like, just good on the Suns for figuring things out, because that organization was not in a great spot like 4 years ago.
They are now. He covers the Lakers and the NBA for the LA Times. He was a panelist on our daily TV show, of course, back in the day. Good friend of the program. That's how you close the show. Dan, appreciate it. Thanks so much. Great job.
Thanks, Jim. Be good. Have a great week.
You too, my man. Dan Wojcicki.